The real job of the amazing endocannabinoid system I talked about last week is to create homeostasis or balance and to promote health in all the cells of our body and brain. That is a mouthful, but when you think about that, balance and health in all our cells, that's a huge job. And because we are body, mind, and spirit, this means the endocannabinoid system regulates many key aspects of our physical, emotional, and mental health. According to the booklet, The Healing Power of the Endocannabinoid System, which is published by Impact Health Media, every system in our body contains receptor sites. These are needed to receive nutrients of all types, including hormones. The endocannabinoid system's receptor sites are called CB1 and CB2. CB1 receptors are abundant in the brain. CB2 receptors are more often found on immune cells, in the gastrointestinal tract, and in the peripheral nervous system. We have these booklets, as well as many products to support your endocannabinoid system, at the Gesundheit Nutrition Center on North 19th Avenue.
The second hour of Gesundheit with Jacobus. Here again is your host, Jacobus Hollowein.
That's right. Thank you very much, Chadwick. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is hour number two. We have four guests. I feel like I'm broadcasting in front of a live audience. It is just that we have four people as guests, and we have two people watching us and listening to us. And then myself. So we have seven people in a small studio. Dr. Dan Young is visiting from Cheyenne, Wyoming, the country doctor. You can go to Country Doctor, the Country Doctor Nutritional Center.com, Country Doctor Nutritional Center.com. This is, I think, his fourth time that he is with me on the program. Every time he comes to the area, we make sure that he has a place to chat and talk about and share with all you listeners. And so with Dr. Dan Young is Becca Mayo Harrison. She came with him, and she is she has actually really an amazing story to tell that we want to tap into this hour, why she got involved in this field of health and healing and what it did for herself. So both of them come from the Country Doctor Wellness Center and, the Country Doctor Nutritional Center in Cheyenne, Wyoming. So look them up over there. The telephone number, if you'd like to get a hold of the office, it's 307-634-2464. And you can find that information. Now, we also have in the studio Dr. Phil Cameron from the Bozeman Wellness Center. We were just talking with him about applied kinesiology, what that means, and how he applies that with his chiropractic practice. It's an interesting story. We were just talking during the break because I still need some more explanations about how this really works. And, of course, he's a diplomate. You call it a diplomate, not a diplomat?
Yeah, diplomate.
Diplomate. Hey, mate.
Right.
Australian. An Australian course that you did. Diplomate. Okay, so he's a diplomate in applied kinesiology, and he was explaining that, but there's definitely more to know about it because this is really an intense course, and he is the only one in Montana who has this certification. And with him is Melissa Humner, who is a health coach, and she is working. She moved to the area in 2018. Is that correct? Or 2019.
I've been here about 7 years.
7 years. Okay. Oh, but it's just that you started working with Dr. Phil Cameron last year.
Yes. I moved here 7 years ago.
Now you hear yourself.
Oh, that's correct.
Good. All right. So we have Dr. Dan, Dr. Phil, we have Melissa, we have Becca, and then we have Ron and Annette, who are all sitting in the bleachers, so to say, just withering away. So thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. I hope you are not too confused with all the voices that you hear. We'll try to say the names of the people who are speaking. So all these introductions are done. We were talking in the talk about applied kinesiology. I want to go into that, but I want to hear another voice. Becca?
Yes. I actually have an example I would love to share. Because for anyone who's new to...
Is that the one where Dr. Dan said, please don't give that example?
No.
No, that's not it.
It's a long walk back to Cheyenne.
I'll save that for the end of the show. No, but I was just thinking, for anyone who is new to kinesiology, when you're first introduced to it, you're kind of trying to wrap your head around it. And so... one thing that we've done in our clinic that kind of can help people understand it a little better, how things can affect the nervous system and causing those muscles to go weak, is that if we have them demonstrate their muscle at strength, mm-hmm. and then have them hold sugar in the other hand and then do it again, they'll go weak, to help show them that, so that they can actually feel that experience.
Do they know what they're putting in their hand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we tell them.
What if you blindfold them?
Well, you could do that too. But I think kind of the point of it is that we all know sugar's not good for us. Well, but actually,
right. So
feeling
that,
the physical shift,
right.
in your body,
yeah.
just by holding it, is
wondering.
Really powerful.
That's a good question.
Yeah, because if it could be mind over matter, right? I mean, oh, sugar is bad. Oh, that goes.
That is a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should try it blindfolded.
Blindfolded.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Put a gold coin in one hand.
Yeah.
And a silver coin in the other.
Blindfold them and say, we're just going to run some experiments.
And they both might
try
go weak because metals are toxic to the human body in that form. Yeah. So, you know.
That's true. No, but that's good. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Just an idea.
Melissa, as a health coach, since you work in Dr. Phil's office or with him in the office, you know, you work independently, or do you work, I don't know exactly how it works, because you are a health coach.
Correct.
You work with people, and you mm-hmm. work with gastrointestinal disorders is what you like mm-hmm. to work with, and with autoimmune disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And was it that one of you was talking about Crohn's disease? Somebody has Crohn's disease. Was that with you or was it with Becca?
It was Becca. Yeah, right. My mom actually has Crohn's.
And that is kind of why you got started in your health field.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it, but my journey started at the age of 9 when my mom got very, very sick. Now, this was 25 years ago, so they didn't know what Crohn's was. So when my mom got sick, she obviously went to the doctor because that's what we're all taught to do.
Yeah.
And so for me, from about ages 9 to 11, my mom was pretty much in bed. And so there would be some days I wouldn't even really see her unless I went into her room.
Yeah.
And so as a child in very formative years, watching my mom go from doctor to specialist and get sicker and sicker, I did not grow up with the mindset that doctors know all and that they have the answers to everything. I grew up with the mindset that I'm confused. I thought they're supposed to be, you know, making us better, and they keep making my mom sicker. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And so that always stayed with me. And then in my 20s, I was on a very unhealthy path, and I was overweight. Decided one day, okay, I'm done. I need to make a change in my life. Completely did like a 180 on my lifestyle, lost 90 pounds, went through a bit of my own health crisis as I went, right? As when you go through a dramatic weight loss like that, you tend to stir things up in the body, right?
Yeah.
So things that had been kind of developing for several years, but then as I'm losing the weight, brings them to the surface, my body starts working on healing, I go through some healing crisis.
Yeah, good point.
And I go straight to a naturopath because I knew I'm not going there. I know I saw what they did to my mom, right? And so that's where I kind of, and then it sparked this passion in me and found Dr. Dan and Country Doctor Nutritional Center, and just very, very passionate about sharing that message and positioning the body to do what it's naturally designed to do.
Your weight gain,
mm-hmm.
was that a result of your sadness about your mom, or confusion about medicine, or was it frustration about relationships you were in with people?
It was a combination of things. I don't think it was one thing. I grew up not really eating vegetables or real food. I had every drive-through menu memorized by the age of 10. My parents were, I was an only child, and my parents worked a ton. So our dinners consisted of hitting a drive-thru on the way home. So I sort of had these patterns before I was even an adult. And then as I, you know, obviously through my 20s, just kind of yo-yo dieted. So trying to get the weight under control, but then always somehow ending up weighing more than I did before I started the diet, right? Right. I think everybody's kind of familiar with that.
Yeah.
Aside from, you know, life in your 20s tends to knock you down quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And depression, anxiety, I'm sure partly also fueled by a poor diet.
Yes.
And just really not on this good path. And so I don't think that it was one thing, but I think there was several things contributing just in my life at that time. And then I just reached this point one day, and I will never forget it, because I had my first son. He was 6 months old, and he tried to grab a cookie I was eating. And I thought, well, you can't eat that. And then I thought, oh, like, if I really want my kids to be healthy,
yes,
I have to make a change. Mm-hmm. And it just, something clicked. And someone like 5 or 6 years earlier had said to me, you should never eat something you wouldn't be excited about feeding a small child to nourish them.
Mm.
And that's, it didn't click in the moment. Like, I understood what she was trying to tell me, but it wasn't until like those 5, 6 years later, in that moment, it just like clicked and something shifted in me.
Yeah.
And I just the next day said, okay, we're making a change. Now, with that being said, I want to be very clear, because anyone who's struggling to make a change, it's not like I woke up the next morning and it was this nice, easy journey and I'm going to eat really healthy and it's going to be right. No, it was definitely difficult. It was a process. It took me a while to let go of certain things, right? It was definitely a process. It didn't happen overnight, but I just had this motivation that I never had before.
Huh. Wow. That is, it's really something.
Yeah.
The, losing weight that quickly, you mentioned earlier, you ended up with certain therapy or stuff came out. I know, and I think we all have heard that fat holds on to both hormones imbalances as well as emotions. Mm-hmm. So that is what you're talking about when you were losing the fat. And were you also exercises on top of that? Were you doing
a great question. Yeah, because before I lost the weight, I actually worked out with a personal trainer for 6 months and I didn't lose a pound. In fact, I didn't even change sizes. I always say I was less squishy, but I didn't actually lose weight or change sizes because I didn't change what I was eating. So I was kind of like stacking muscle on top of fat,
correct,
right?
Uh-huh.
And then in that, when I finally fast forward, when I, you know, changed my diet, I had a baby, money was really tight. I did not have a gym membership. So what I did was I really just put everything into focusing on what I was eating.
Yeah.
And I would take my baby and walk. I would just walk.
Perfect.
So I didn't do anything intense, but I would make sure I was getting that physical movement. But it was a really good lesson for me that the food really is the majority of it.
Exactly.
And the exercise is the support to that.
Yeah.
It's not the, right? How many people do we know are killing it in the gym and not achieving their goals because they aren't adjusting the food as well?
Yep.
Plus, many people are emotional eaters.
That as well.
So
yeah,
that's
part of it as well.
Yeah, and so then you work out really hard, but then you eat whatever you want to eat. The amount of people who I see that after a workout and really like you're dripping sweat and then go out and have a hot chocolate and a donut, literally, they go across the street to the coffee shop and that's what they have to fix themselves because that's what they want right now. And they feel, I deserve it because I burned 1,000, 1,500 calories, 2,000 calories in that last hour and a half. So I got to put them right back in. The body's craving it.
Absolutely. I should add as well that I am a sugar addict and I would go on binges.
Yeah.
And so getting those under control and developing ways to manage and process emotions and not trying to stuff them back down. Like one thing I've always shared when I've done coaching is that as babies, we are taught from day one that, right, when a baby cries, what do? We feed them or we coddle them.
Yeah.
Well, so we're trained from day one that food is a way to stuff those feelings back down, right? Because we're not going to get coddled as adults.
Mm.
And so we don't even realize that subconsciously we've been trained since day one that food is a way for us to stuff those feelings back down. And so connecting those dots and realizing that I need to learn how to process and release emotions and not necessarily just try and stuff them back down. Now, I will say this because I started my weight loss journey 6 years ago or over 6 years ago. So I have kept the weight off for several years.
Yeah.
But my binge eating came down gradually. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a, so I still struggled through their binge eating up until about my last time that I binge ate was over 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it like less and less and got it more until, you know what I mean? So again, I just want to reiterate that it was this process and it didn't happen overnight.
I see. Wow, that is really that's very interesting. I wonder, you know, it is amazing when I see before and after picture how your face has changed.
Yeah.
Because you're smiling on the picture when you were heavy.
Uh-huh.
But it's a whole different smile than what you have today.
Yeah.
I can just see that in many ways you were not happy with yourself the way your life was going, and that gave you enough motivation to, and I saw some of the pictures that you took of yourself on the internet, how you changed when you lost the first 30 pounds. And, you know, when you start, you just don't know where it will come off, right? You don't know if it's coming out of your shoulders or is it, where we have, let's see here. Perfect. If it comes out of your abdomen or out of your shoulders, or out of your thighs, or your buttocks, it we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But you keep going the journey. Now, how did you know that? You know what is always interesting with weight loss? When does the body stop?
Mm.
Because why does it say, "Well, we got to lose 90 pounds"? I mean, I don't know what you weigh right now, but the point is that could you lose another 10 pounds, or would that become unhealthy? When does the body stop losing weight by itself?
For me personally, I'm not looking to lose any more weight. I think a common question people ask is, what weight should I be at? Or what is my healthy weight? Or when should I stop? And for me, the answer has always been when you feel comfortable and when you feel good about yourself, right? Because at the end of the day, I think the most important thing is that we all feel comfortable in our own skin.
Yes.
And right? And that we can just enjoy our lives.
Mm-hmm.
What the point is really not about how many pounds I lost, but that I wasn't enjoying or living my life, and now I am.
I see.
Night and day difference.
Can I chime in on that?
Yeah, please.
So people ask me that question.
Dr. Phil.
Yeah, people, you know, and I hate weight as a topic of conversation, because it's just a number. I like to call it a set point. When your body's losing weight, you're looking for an optimal functioning where your body has enough calories to burn for the activities that you're doing. You're putting the right stuff in to nourish it, and then your body can then use that nourishment to allow you to live your activities of daily living.
Yeah.
And each person's body type is different based on, you know, what they have to do, how long they have to do it for. And I don't ever think there is a right number. There's just a right function.
Yeah.
Yes, that's such a good point.
Yeah, it's way true.
Yeah, because it depends how you feel.
Yeah.
I would just add real quick, I'm actually like 20, 25 pounds below where I ever, like, my dream weight would be.
That's amazing.
So it wasn't even like this wasn't my goal. I just kept eating healthier. Mm-hmm. And my body just kept making adjustments.
Mm-hmm. And it's also important to point out, too, because in watching Becca, and I know that Dr. Phil and Melissa will concur with this. I know you, too, as well, Jacobus, that, you know, when people come to us and they say, here's my concerns, allergies, weight, and insomnia, no energy, right? And they list these things out. And we as practitioners know that that's not the problem. The problem really is at the core, what have those things taken away from you in terms of the quality of your life?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you have to plug into. And it doesn't matter, again, going back to the top of the first hour, the modality is not the issue. The issue is restoration of performance, right? And the quality of that life restoration. So all of those things that people come in, they do the symptom surveys and they list all that stuff, and it's great intake, and it makes sense.
Yeah.
But at the core of that is, what are you going to gain back by not having those things in your life? What has that stolen from you? Mm-hmm. How has that kept you from performing the way you want? Are you out there on the basketball court with your grandkids like you want to be? Or, you know, you don't get rid of asthma for the getting rid of asthma's sake. Yeah. You get rid of asthma because it's keeping you from doing things in life that you desperately, dearly want to do.
Yeah.
That's why you get rid of asthma.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other reason. You have to plug people into that and get that anchored for them. And that's what pulls them through the tough times. That's what pulls them through filling out food logs every single day for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, beverages, and snacks. And adjusting gradiently, getting them there, right? Mm-hmm. That's what pulls people through.
That's a journey.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay, we have a few telephone calls. I don't know how many we get in. Now, the person in Cheyenne, good morning to you. What's your name? How can we help you?
Good morning. My name is Craig.
Hi, Greg. Is it with a C, Craig?
What was that, sir?
Is it a C, Craig, or is it Greg?
Craig.
Craig. Right.
I know this guy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Dan and Becca know me.
Okay. Good morning to you. Thanks for calling.
Well, it's my pleasure. The question that I was going to bring up is, what are some of the best ways to start changing and working on your diet? I mean, you know, like, I have a lot of trouble with, I like sweets and I like carbohydrates. How can I start working those out of my diet?
Can I go first?
Yeah.
This is Becca. So what I would say is the very, very first thing you should do is spend some serious time figuring out why you want to make those changes.
Huh.
That makes sense to me. What do I do once I figure out why? I mean, you know, the big reason that I want to is because, you know, I'm carrying more weight than I used to carry. And I want to lose the weight. But I also, I want to do this because I want to become more healthy than I am.
Oh, well, good for you, Craig. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of things you can do. I think getting that why is the very first thing. Because things naturally happen after that.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously getting a good coach, getting a good plan.
I can turn you on to a good coach, Craig.
I also, this is just like a quick tip, but hibiscus tea I have found is very helpful in when you're kind of detoxing from coming down from sugar and carbs. Hibiscus tea can help with that. I'll even make it and ice it like in the summertime and have it just ready to go in the fridge so that if I get that afternoon headache because I just went down on sugar.
Let's do this. We have a hard break coming up. Greg, if you want to, you want to stay on for 5 minutes through the break or you want to call us back?
I can stay on.
Thank you. Let's do that. Folks, we will be right back. Stay tuned, please.
This is Gesundheit with Jacobus. Health Talk Radio.